So the title of the talk is From Death to the Deathless. And I do want to put this in some perspective, because all beings are afraid to die. And we are born and we arrive in the body, and we are afraid of not being, of finishing, of ending, of disappearing. And it's just all beings. You ask anybody, all beings,
except
Shai, are not happy about disappearing.
Not happy and afraid is not the same thing.
Never mind. Afraid, not happy with it, don't want it, and don't want to talk about the psychological, how it feels psychologically. Everyone is different. So, and we're afraid, basically, of losing. Yeah, I mean, some people would say, I'm not afraid of dying, but I'm very afraid of losing the people close to me. Just we're hearing it now. I'm really scared of my son dying in the war. I'm really scared of my children dying. I'm really I don't mind if I. But so all the endings, endings of ourselves and endings of others, and loss, is always for us a big thing. It always carries a weight. And there is a lot of small deaths, in a way, a small endings or small not beings, lo kayam, which we also don't like. For example, shi'imum. Shi'imum is not being fully alive. Shimum, isn't it? Or Dikaon, not being fully alive. Dikaon is like that, not being. These are little ones. Alzheimer, not being myself. It's frightening, we don't like it. Confusion, Iyidia, not knowing. Not knowing is frightening for us. I need to know who I am. Not knowing is, I need to know what will happen. I need to know that my son will be all right and he will come back from Aza. I need to know that. Not knowing is scary, is difficult. So we're in a territory here which we do have to face. And you may not agree with, it's fair enough not to agree, by the way, but the Buddha had a very powerful, it makes me shake to read this every time, very powerful statement about this. And he puts it in perspective of life after life after life. And he says, for a long time, meaning for many, many lives, you have experienced the death of a father, the death of a brother, the death of a sister, the death of a son, the death of a daughter. You have experienced the loss of all that is yours, the loss through illness. And as you have experienced this, crying because of being connected with what you do not want and separated from what you do want, the stream of tears that you have shed is more than the water in the four great oceans. Why? Why does this happen? This samsara is without discoverable beginnings. You can never know the beginning of where this, how, why this is happening. For such a long time, you have experienced suffering, pain, and disaster, and filled the cemeteries. And it is enough to create distaste, like not wanting, not liking this. Revulsion, meaning Nibida in the Sanskrit, turning away. Turn away from all formations, enough to become dispassionate, not wanting them, and not interested in them, and liberated from them. So, what the point of it is, our meeting with this pain and the loss and the suffering of death and is a springboard, a kerechkvitsa, to liberation, because we turn away from what gives us all this pain, and we turn away and become, in a way, free from it. Dispassionate means not attached to it. So we become free from the things that give us so much pain and fill the cemeteries for life after life after life. Turning away from it. Saying, I can't anymore, not having it anymore. I'm not having this pain anymore. And that is power that brings us to liberation. So, and we also forget how much that death is working with us 24 hours. Well, we talked about it before as the death of someone close to us. But we forget that death is working in our life all the time. You could say the fact that everybody is constantly busy and really can't stop is running away from not being. I need to run from not being. If I don't do, I don't exist really. And what am I like? What is my life? I must be doing. I must be manifesting. Manifest hakshama. Manifest myself. Express myself. Be myself. Otherwise, I don't know I exist. I'm sitting at home doing nothing. I'm nobody. I'm not anybody. It's a sort of a death. I am nothing is a death. So we're busy, busy, busy. And you look at the streets, and you look at Tel Aviv, and you think it's a crazy place. In a certain way, everybody's running away from death. In a way, everybody's running from the not being. Through being busy, through filling all the holes in the life, through denial of death. The Mahabharata is a wonderful story, and in the Mahabharata, the king is going on his journey to Nibbana. His dog is called Dharma. Goes with him, and they come to a lake, and the lake is always a symbol of the consciousness, and under the lake is the Naga, the dragon, or the Leviathan, or the Naga is the Indian dragon. And the Naga is always a symbol of basic wisdom, or basic sort of fundamental wisdom, kama nachash in Yadut, in Jewish mysticism. And he has to answer three questions. And one of the questions that Naga asks him is, what's the most extraordinary thing in the world, the most amazing thing in the universe? And because he's the king, he answers correctly, which is that all human beings are going to die, but they behave as if they're not. And the truth is, we are circling around death all the time in our life. We are busy with being, endlessly being to avoid not being. We're busy with denial, hakhasha. We're busy with forgetting, entertaining ourselves. We're busy with just not to have to go there, not to have to allow death to be close to us. And yet we're fascinated by it. It's amazing. How many births appear in Yediot Achronot? None. How many deaths? Any minute there's a death, whoop, the whole country talks about it. Birth, every day there's thousands, nobody interested in birth. We're all interested in death. Very easy to get in the newspapers with a death. We're all interested. So there's a lot of pain. Um,
And there's pain in denial, there's pain in the fear of death, there's pain in loss, there's pain in living with the fear of death. And as we get closer to death itself, actually there begins to be a relief. Because one of the most difficult things for us is that it works through us, but we don't meet it directly. And that was the story, the famous story of the mustard seed of the Buddha. You probably all know it. Yeah, the Zarahardal. You all know the story?
Yeah.
Well, just very quickly, so a mother came to the Buddha with her, and she was desperate that her child died, and she said, give me a medicine to revive the child. And the Buddha said, okay, I can revive the child, I can make a medicine made of mustard seeds, Zarahardal. But the mustard seeds has to come, you have to go and collect the mustard seeds from only a house where there has been no death. And so she goes round and round and round and collects and collects, but she can't find one house where there's no death. So she comes back to the Buddha and says, she wakes up bits and realizes, I have to meet death directly. And there is a real relief in meeting death rather than in running away from it, and in the hashlachot, and in being busy with it, and letting it work in us, in the unconscious. I remember we talked about this in the weekend, that where in the retreats we had for cancer patients, whenever we had a session on death and small groups discussing death, people had a great time. There was so much laughter and so much, in a way, it was not a problem at all. People really got into it and they enjoyed it. And I wouldn't say enjoy, I don't know, but the truth of things always makes relief. The truth of things. It's holding things there that gives us pain. The truth of things makes us relief. And because of that, one of the reasons why we read the Chamesh Tizkorot, the five remembrances in the Theravada, and there is a Tibetan phrase that says, you should wake up every morning and listen to a little bird that sits on your shoulder and says, maybe today is your last day. Every morning the little bird has to say, maybe today is your last day. Because if we live with death, we also live with life. Because we live close to the truth of life-death. The closer we live to death, the closer we live to life. Because they go together. They cannot be separated. And there's a... a quote here from I found from Mozart, who wrote to his father, saying... death, when we look at it very closely, is the actual goal, a matara, of our existence. I have come to during the last few years, such a close relation with this best and truest friend of mankind, that his image is not only no longer terrifying to me, but is actually very soothing, giving comfort, giving marmargia, giving comfort. And I thank my God for giving me the opportunity of learning that death is the key which unlocks the door to our true happiness. Death is the key that unlocks the door to our true happiness. It's a really interesting thing to say. Yeah. Because intimacy with the not being is intimacy with the being. The two go so close together. So, nevertheless, and I think we need to be a little bit realistic here about ourselves, death does, to whom, I mean, maybe you're the exception, but to whom can we say that death is not, that we don't have the fear of death? I think pretty well everybody, except maybe Shai, has a fear of death. And the bigger it gets, the more it makes us impossible for us to get close and intimate with death and with not being. So I do want to talk about this because it's quite helpful for us to know in our life how to reduce the fear of death. The Buddha was talking about it quite a lot. He was saying how he reduced the fear of death a lot. But even so, when he was nearly a Buddha, it still would happen to him. He was in the deep forest in the middle of the night with all the Shedim kind of crying and calling on his own in the dark and near where people were buried and he said fear would come to him also. So it's very strong, this fear of death. We can think now we're sitting here where I don't really have so much fear of death, but if someone came to us with a knife, so clear that you'd say, I'm not afraid. It's not so clear. So there's a nice sutta, and I sent you this in the email, the Abhaya Sutta. And did you all get it yet? Okay, so you'll get it. It was sent late, but that's the way things are. I couldn't do it early enough. Doesn't matter. And it's really about being fearless in relation to death. And the Abhaya Sutta basically says, who is how do you reduce the fear of death? And there's a few places. One actually, Dafka, is morality, is living a pure life. Because there's something about living a pure life, ethics, and living right in harmony, which makes you feel, I don't regret my life. My life has been worth it. My life has been right. My life has been lived well. One of the benefits of living right is this feeling, my life has been lived well. And there, that reduces fear of death. So morality is one of the places where that reduce fear. I remember talking to Erica, and one night we were talking, and I said to her, and she was already 90, and I said to her, what would help you to die? With Erica, you could talk about everything. She was crazy, wonderful, spiritual teacher, wild, wise woman. And I said, when you're ready to die, what would you want me to do? What would you want me to say that would help you when your time is coming? She said, I don't want anyone going there, because they're, it's all right, it's all right. I don't want anyone comforting me. The best thing that anyone could do is to tell me how well I've lived. What a good life, what a big life I've had. That would help me die. That's what she said. And that's definitely right. So what is in the Abhaya Sutta is another aspect, which is non-attachment. So attachment makes it, the more we are attached, the harder it is for us to die, to let go, to leave, the more fears we have about leaving. Attached, I mean, there isn't, we heard now about attachment to our children, and in two stories of attachment to our children. There cannot be an attachment more stronger than that. So, attachment to other people that are close to us, attachment to what we want, attachment to what we like, attachment to what we need, attachment to who we are, attachment to how what we know rather than what we don't. Well, all that is attachment will increase the fear and the concern. And the biggest one is attachment to the body, to our own body. And as much as we are attached to our body, that much we'll be afraid of the body going. So it's very, very deep. And part of the Dharma is really practicing non-attachment to our body. That our body, in a way, doesn't belong to us. It's not mine. I didn't buy it in a shop and put it on like a pair of clothes, which are also not mine. My body. But is it really my body? Did I make it? So attachment to body is another place where we can loosen the attachment and reduce fear. And one other place, which is also in the Abhaya Sutta, just a big vision. Just having a big view. The spirituality. The big view of existence. The perspective of Dharma, shall we say, of the universe, or of totality, or of the moment that doesn't interest anybody. It's just not, it's not mine. The moment of being, which it don't have any label called Stephen's being. It's just existence. So that sense of freedom also reduces. In the Buddhist tradition, death is one of the divine messengers. Like we had sickness, death is another one. In other words, it's a wake-up call. The shlichim milamala that came to the Buddha, one of them is death. So it's a wake-up call. And as close as it comes to us, the more we can wake up. Mara, that means the kind of the voice of conventional mind that comes to the Buddha all his life and to all of us, all our life. Mara keeps saying, oh, forget death. Don't worry about death. It'll come when it's time. You don't need to think about it now. And you have to see that voice and say, that voice isn't really true because death is with me every minute. And then Mara is seen. And the one challenging thing that I want to work on a little bit also this evening, the word deathless. In Hebrew you say imavet, what did you say?
Almavet.
Ze lo nitzchi, ze lo to mila, netzach, ze almavet. This word is used a lot in the Buddhist tradition. The monks are always talking about it. It is one of the words for nibbana. It is coming up again and again and again. It is in fundamental in the path. And it's a big challenge. What does that mean? What is it? I'm not going to answer it right now. And we can work. We'll work on it today. But death and freedom are in intimate dialogue. And death and deathless, no death, is like part of freedom is no death. What does that mean? How do we understand that? And we really need to explore it, to go into it, to look at it more deeply. Death is, as I say, if death is a messenger, and if death is a power that can free us, then we really have to look carefully and find that intimacy and closeness moment by moment with not being. Being, not being, being, not being. In a very basic logical way, if you look at logic, sechel, we're already dead. Why? Because we're made of pieces of the universe. So what does it mean to be alive? It's just a thought. I am alive. But, you know, chamkan. Pachman, here, Pachman, is it alive? What does it mean? It's pieces of the universe. This a bit of bits and pieces. When someone asked the Buddha, what happens to you after you die? He said, you're asking me what happens to me after I die. Can you see me now I'm alive? And I'm standing in front of you? Do you know what I am? Can you see me? He said, the Buddha said, I'm made of bits and pieces. And yasuimi chalkikim. So do you know what I am? Do you know what life is? Can you say anything about it? So we're sort of put together by the universe, by the world, by the universe, put us together. We're born out of a womb, and then we go back to pieces again. So we're here a little bit as a gush, and then we go back. So what is this life death? So we arrive from emptiness, we're put together by karma, and then we go back to emptiness. What there belongs to us. What belongs to us? We arrive from emptiness, we're put together by the universe, and then we go back into emptiness. What belongs to us? What is our us? What is life, our me, my life? Big question. Nevertheless, the body wants to survive. The body wants to stay and doesn't want to disappear. And that's why we're afraid of death. In actual fact, it's not the body. It's the self. Because my hand doesn't care. Myself cares. But my body doesn't care. The body's dying all the time anyway. All every
7 years,
7 years,
all of you is changed.
Exactly.
So including bones, including everything. Brains, including
everything. All the time, everything is changed anyway, dies, and is being reborn. So we're absolutely dying all the time. So the body is dying, so it's not the body that wants to survive, it's the me that wants to survive. And the me takes on, the self takes on the job of worrying about survival. The self takes it on. But if the worry about survival is only in the self, and the self doesn't really exist. It's just a thought. So what's happened to the worry about surviving? Where is that? It's just a thought. The me is, itself is a thought. The me that wants to survive is a thought. So you see, we're in, everything is shaking now. Everything's, you know, going to pieces. So I want to read what Krishnamurti writes, and it's just a way, he writes very beautifully as a way where the closeness with death is giving us so much power in the moment to live. The truth of death giving us the truth of life. He says, live for one day, 1 hour, as though you were going to die, actually going to die the next hour. Can you do it? If you can live 1 hour as completely as that, you can live completely for the rest of your life. But really to die is hard work. Not to die through disease and old age. That's not hard work at all. That will happen by itself. It's what we're all going to do. And we protect ourselves against it in so many ways. But if you die so that you are living fully in this 1 hour, you will find there is an enormous vitality, a tremendous attention to everything, because this is the only hour you are living. You look at this spring of life because you will never see it again. You see the smile. You see the tears. You feel the earth. You feel the quality of a tree. You feel the love that has no continuity and no object. And you will find that in this total attention, there is no me. And that the mind, being empty, can renew itself. And the mind is fresh and innocent. And such a mind lives beyond time. So, the Buddha said this mysterious sentence, but maybe we can understand it in relation to what I was saying just now about the self. We only die because we're attached to dying. We only die because we're attached to, dying, we die. It's radical, but maybe we can understand it. What we were saying before. The deathless is a place where we don't need to believe that we exist. Existence, I exist, is a thought, is a belief. I am a self that is existing and I want to exist longer. Is a thought, is in the mind, is an attachment. I believe I exist and I'm afraid and it will hurt me to lose myself. Except, as we said before, if we do it every day, like going to sleep at night, we're not afraid. No one worries about going to sleep every night. But we lose ourselves. We lose our existence. We don't really know if we're going to wake in the morning. No one proves it to us. We set the alarm clock, Sha'on Morer, but we're not sure if there's going to be anybody there to listen to the alarm clock in the morning. No one can prove it to us. So, The deathless is an issue which is connected to our belief that we exist and our interest, obsession, attachment, total interest, if you like, in existence and non-existence. And there's a way out of this. To lose the interest in existence and non-existence, but to be fully alive, so Krishnamurti says, in the moment, which is beyond time. Then it's not a question of I exist or I don't exist, it's a question of being. And being is without time. And the image, which is a nice image, I like it, is if you look at a wheel, and I gave it in the meditation, if you look at a wheel has time. A wheel travels. A wheel is a thing. We look at it and we see it turns around. But actually, the working bit of the wheel, the part that works, is just one place where the wheel touches the ground. And that's what makes the wheel turn. And that is changing all the time. And that is no wheel. It's one point on the wheel. So we can say our life and our death and our busyness, the self, is the wheel. We're busy with the wheel. I want the wheel to go round. I want to keep moving. I want the wheel to take the carriage, the car. I want to travel. I want this. But what actually does the job is the moment that the wheel touches the ground, that moment, and in there's no time, and there is no life, and there is no death. No theories, no desires, and no needs, and no beliefs. It's just the moment of timeless moment, exactly what Krishnamurti talks about, of the totalness of being. And in there is no death. Because death and life, and death and survival are concepts that we are busy with all our life. So, final word of something I'm not going to get into, and it's all about, but I can't not mention it, the whole issue of the belief systems on rebirth and all of that. And I don't want to get into it because it's such a big story, and we'll start arguing about it for the whole night, and I don't want to go there, and I have energy to start arguing about rebirth. But I just want to say one thing to clarify something from the, shall we say, early Buddhist teaching, that most of the teachings of rebirth by the Buddha are phrased in terms of paticca-samuppada, meaning that rebirth is happening in the moment, that we are born in the moment because we are becoming ourselves again and again. Every experience that we experience, the wheel of paticca-samuppada is turning. And so we are reborn and dying every minute. And the Buddha said that's, in a way, that's where birth and death is happening. Birth, death, rebirth is happening every moment that we experience. We are becoming born every moment, as Stephen is being reborn every experience I have, and dying. However, there is Eastern culture influence and does influence, and who knows what happens after death. And Eastern culture definitely influenced the Buddha and influenced the Buddha's time, and whoever wrote the suttas was certainly influenced. And so, yes, many stories of people dying and coming back as gods or visiting. And so that's definitely there as a kind of a narrative, a cultural narrative of being born again after dying, physically the body. So that's there. But in terms of practice, it's really clear that rebirth is about the next moment. Like it says also in the Kabbalah, by the way, and I've mentioned this to a few people, that people say in Jewish mystical tradition, or Jewish tradition, people say, Olam Haba, Olam Haba, Olam Haba. My reward will be Olam Haba. Because in the Zohar, Olam Haba is Olam Haba Tamid. Olam Haba Kol Hazman. Tamid Ba. Or I forget the Hebrew, Aramaic. But it's very clear. So I just want to close that one, because we ought to mention it, but it doesn't interfere with what I was saying before, because the emphasis of the Buddhist practice tradition of liberation is that rebirth is happening now, constantly. So that's what I want to say, and let's just take a moment of quietness.